Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Show's taught me.
Shit 90 Show's taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to follow your crush all the way up to Rhinebeck, New York, to you declare your love for them? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jessica, I'm doing so good. This was such a good episode of Felicity. I am just really excited to talk all about it with you. We get some like big proclamations of love, which has been months in the making. So I'm really excited to break down how all the boys really like, you know, flubbed it. It's everybody kind of fucked it up, but it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, I loved this episode. I think it's up there in terms of like my favorite of the season. Mm-hmm. It had like everything you want in a teen drama. It had declarations of love, Fran Drescher's. It had a huge issue that causes everyone to have to like sleep in the same place, meaning that like there's going to be people who hate each other in the same room, and there's going to be people who have unrequited feelings for each other in the same room. And it's like there's going to be furtive glances from across the room. It's all very exciting. And I think what's more is exciting also, Sarah, is I feel like we don't get spoiled. I don't want to say that. But we get like an idea of what are the most like beloved episodes, because usually when we have guests, that's like a huge indicator of like, okay, people love this episode. People want to talk about this episode. And no one was a guest for this episode. So I wasn't like expecting it to be spectacular or anything, but I really loved it. I really thought this episode was great.
Yeah, it was really exciting. I'm glad that we got some resolutions or some movements on some sitting things, namely for me, the Sean and Julie thing, because I feel like this has been like bubbling up for probably about a season now. Like, I think that we started getting inklings at the end of season one that Sean could have feelings for Julie, and this has just been waiting. So I would love to kind of start here because my guy really fucked it up. Like, I'm rooting for Sean. Like, I like Sean. Yeah. I really love that we got to see a couple of Sean's inventions this episode because we've been asking and wanting for that. So number one, we have Shreem, which I actually think is a good invention.
I totally, totally agree. I think that here's the thing. I am not a big powder creamer girly. However,
creamer is so gross, but yeah.
However, I can see Shreem having its time and place. Namely, I'm thinking of this. You're going camping. You're going backpacking. You're going somewhere where you're not going to necessarily have access to a refrigerator. Maybe you're trying to pack lightly, so you're like trying not to crowd your cooler or something. Shreem is a great product for that, especially it comes in its own little individual cubes. Yeah. I could see a total, like an easy use for this item.
Yeah, and I can see Shreem being really popular in offices, maybe in, stadiums have like little coffee stands. Like, I can see this really blowing up in a more corporate setting. Like, I don't think that Shreem will be in like somebody's everyday house. Maybe like probably
it's like a specialty use item.
Yeah. Like it's probably like the same people that use instant coffee would use Shreem. But I thought Shreem was great. I thought the name was also really good. Unlike
way better than smoothies. Way better than smoothies. I mean, it wasn't hard, but definitely way better than smoothies. Yes.
Yeah. And I also really liked the second invention that we got to see of his, the s'more maker, which is some sort of like rotating like a Ferris wheel marshmallow toaster. I thought that, I mean, very unnecessary, but I was entertained by it. I liked it. So yeah, I think that was a good invention.
And I've seen like these little mini s'more makers, these little mini s'more roasters. Like, I've seen these on Amazon and like people buy them. So this was like ahead of its time. And maybe like there were some kinks to work out in like the design and everything, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But it's a very novelty item, right? This is an item that like you would buy for like a grab bag for a holiday party.
Yes,
like
yes,
I could yes. see there being a market for this. 10 out of 10. I'm so proud of Sean for these things and these things alone this episode. Okay.
No, not only that, I am also proud of him that his movie got picked up. Like, he's probably going to make bank with this movie going out into, I don't know, theaters, TV. I don't know what the fuck he's up to. So, and like, he was such a great guy for covering Ben's shift and lending Ben his cell phone
and
so
letting everyone stay at his place at the same time. Like, there's a lot that Sean is being very generous with.
Yeah. And now, okay. So, and then the situation that we are talking about is that he got so excited that his movie is getting bought by a producer that he wound up like planting a gigantic kiss on Julie in front of everybody. And so, Julie is gobsmacked. Like, she did not expect this to happen. It's really awkward. She pulls away and everybody's like trying to be casual. And then Julie's like, did Sean just kiss me? And it's really, really, really awkward because after that, like, people start like leaving the home and it's only like Julie and Sean and Megan. Yeah. And Julie, like a fucking bitch and a half, gets up and walks away from him and closes the door so that Sean is like left with Megan to play Operation.
Which I love this duo, by the way. Sean and Megan hanging out and playing Operation was
an unlikely duo. Yeah. I gotta say, like, I mean, not great that like he got excited and kissed Julie
in front of everybody.
However, Julie was kind of being like a baby bitch because
I totally disagree with how I think she needed a second to compose herself and like think about what the fuck just happened.
That because communicated, she didn't have to like walk away from Sean and not say anything and then slam the door like a fucking like dramatic.
Did she slam the door? I don't remember.
She like slams the door on them. Like she was being like, she could have been like, I need some time to think. That's all she needed. And I wouldn't be calling her a bitch and a half. Like, I just feel as though like Girly Pop had to have known he had feelings for her. He was slobbering over her at all times. And the fact that like, I don't know, like she kind of like laughs at him in the situation. She's just like, Sean just kissed me. Like, I don't know. Like, I kind of felt like she has no obligation to kiss him back, like him, be with him. But like, don't laugh at my guy, Sean.
See, the way I looked at it was she was really taken aback by this entire situation. She needed a minute to like figure shit out. And I'm going to give her credit in that, you know, later on she comes back out and she sits down and she's like, okay, so what was the deal with the kiss? Like,
what do you think the deal with the kiss is? He's in love with you.
But I still think she's the one who's bringing it up, right? She's not trying to like pretend it didn't happen. She's confronting the situation head on. Like, it's not like right after she kissed or he kissed her that she immediately ran into the room and slammed the door. It was like, oh, okay. Ruby goes away with Wade. And who is it? Someone else leaves. Felicity leaves with Greg. And so then suddenly everyone's kind of like, you know, the mood is kind of ruined because Noel is upset about the Ruby thing. And, you know, it's like, and Ben's upset about the Felicity thing. So then everyone's kind of going to their own corners anyway. So I didn't view it as like, you know, Sean kissed me and now I'm storming off and leaving the room. I actually really appreciated the way in which she handled the conversation where she asks like, what was that kiss? Because the way he originally explains it is like, oh, I'm sorry, I got like really excited. And like, she thought, oh, okay, well, that's it then. Like, you were just excited. And I mean, Sean, man, like, I just feel like read the room. Like, if she wasn't excited about the kiss and she's like asking questions, maybe you don't go in with the full blown, I'm totally madly, insanely, passionately in love with you. That's one too many adverbs.
Well, the thing is that he's been giving all this advice to Ben, like proclaim your love, like open up, tell her how you're feeling, like go after her. And I think that it's just like, oh, it's time that I follow my own advice. However, we knew that this was going to be the outcome of Sean and Julie. Like, Julie had put Sean in the friend zone.
He's been friend zoned for a while
many years. And once you are firmly planted in the friend zone, I mean, I don't know how one gets
out. It's really hard to get out. Yeah. And I just think he was shooting his shot, which, like, good effort on you, I suppose. But I feel like, you know, maybe he should have read the room in terms of her reaction. Yeah. And he says like, yeah, I'm not kidding. Like before you ask, like, I'm not kidding. It's just
so
like,
I somehow blocked out of my memory the couple of times that I have watched this, like how this resolves at the end. Like, I remember him being like, I'm not kidding, I am in love with you. But did we switch scenes? Like, what happened?
We switched scenes literally right after he says that.
Okay, so we don't have a resolution yet.
No, because I believe we don't see those characters for the rest of the episode, if my memory serves correctly.
Okay. That's what I thought, but I was just like, am I blacking this out because it was painfully awkward?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
My brain is choosing not to watch it. Okay, so we don't really know what the resolution is yet. Julie lives in this house with Sean. Like, there is nothing good that's going to come from this.
No, there can't be at this point. They're roommates. Like, it's uncomfortable, and I don't really know how this gets resolved that, you know, that doesn't involve Julie moving out at some point. Like, it just feels like how do you move on from this when I don't see Sean's feelings changing anytime soon, like unless he gets a different love interest. Julie obviously is just going to date around. So it's like, I don't see how you live with someone after this, like, declaration, you know?
Do you think that Sean is not a catch? Like, do you think that Julie has reason to not see him in that light?
I just think she sees him as a friend. I don't think it has anything to do with, like, who Sean is. I don't think there's anything that, like, makes him undateable, you know? I really like Sean. I think he's really fun. I think his inventions are really interesting. I think he's an incredible friend. I feel like he's a very, very supportive friend. But I just feel like he's – I hate to say this, but I do feel like he's the type of guy that just gets friend-zoned a lot.
What makes a guy the type of guy to get friend-zoned a lot? I'm asking this because I don't know if I know the answer. However, I know plenty of guys that are like, I'm the nice guy. I always get friend zoned. Girls go after, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm trying to be like, okay, like, why does the guy get friend zoned?
I'm wondering.
I guess my answer is that, like, perhaps they are going after the wrong type of girl for them.
I think that's one part of it for sure. And then I think the other part is, I think, while it's possible to be friends with someone for years prior to, like, dating or something, I feel like once you've established that the relationship that you have is not flirty, is not, you know, romantic, is not any of those things, it's really hard to change that person's perception of you. And so I think never having that door completely shut from the start is probably the right move. Yeah. But It's hard, right? Like, because I'm trying to think, right? Like, when my husband and I were just friends in the very, very beginning, it wasn't like there wasn't, like, this, like, flirty atmosphere, though. You know what I mean? Like, neither one of us was acting like, oh, you're my brother or sister sort of thing. I feel like you have to avoid that at all costs. And I think you have to be really careful if you are ever a shoulder to cry on. And this is, like, gender be damned. Who cares about the gender in this situation? I'm just saying, like, avoid being the shoulder to cry on about other partners.
Other guys. Yeah.
It just, like, feels like you're setting yourself up for failure in that regard.
I guess. But then again, I'm thinking about, like, my partner, and, like, I mean, like, Adam's interesting because, like, he was really, like, my best guy friend. Like, he was, like, somebody that I, like, really trusted, and I did open up to him about my ex and my ex relationship. And it's interesting because, like, he never ever said, like, oh, you gotta leave him or he's not good for you. But
that's a really dangerous road to go down if you do. yeah
but he always did make me feel like, because I had, like, very little self-worth, and he was very kind of like Sean does, like, you know, he, like, kind of built up my self-confidence. So I don't know. Like, I think it's tricky. I honestly think, like, with all things, like, relationships are, like, it's, like, you know, a percentage timing. It's percentage chemistry. Oh, yeah. It's percentage luck. Like, I think that, like, all of these factors go into it. And I think, like, the right person lands in front of you at the right time. But I mean, like, I don't know if Sean did anything bad, except for the fact that, like, I think that Julie is kind of emotionally unavailable because of the really bad things that have happened in her life. Yeah. And I think, like, that is probably the worst thing, because I think, like, a lot of the times guys get into this, like, savior complex. Like, I'm going to be, like, this girl's, like, savior, the shoulder to cry on, and she can come to me and I will, like, protect her and, like, all these things. And it's just like, well, some of those girls, like, really need to work on themselves, and, like,
yeah,
you shouldn't be pursuing this person because they're not in the right headspace to be in a relationship. So even if you are a great guy, they're not going to be receptive or, like, be treating you well enough to be a good partner. It's just, like, interesting because, like, I'm just trying to be like, gosh, what could have Sean done? And I don't know if Sean could have done anything, honestly.
No, I don't know that there's much he could have done differently. I feel like, I will point out that the impulsive kiss feels like a really bad move with a woman who has gone through what Julie has.
That's true.
Where like consent has been an issue for her in the past. It just feels like springing a kiss on someone, anyone for that matter, but like especially Julie, who's gone through all the shit recently, feels like a terrible idea. And I know it was impulsive, and I'm not trying to like condemn Sean. He's a very nice guy. But it's just like that probably didn't help matters. I just put the scene on just so I could like take a peek at like Julie's facial expressions and everything. And it does look like almost like pity a little bit, like when he's done telling her, like when he says like I'm in love with you, she looks like kind of not confused, like, but like a little bit like, ooh, what am I don't know what to say, sort of thing. Like she's appreciative, but she doesn't know what to say. And I just
it's
think
not good. It's not
gonna be good. I don't really know what is gonna happen from here, but yeah, I'm happy at the very least that it's out in the open at this point, because this has been a full season long thing. Like has been happening since episode one of the season. So
yeah, it's been a while. I am kind of sad that this is like the ultimate outcome, but so is life, I guess. Like sometimes like these things just like don't work out. And I think that there's like, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that at this point in time, Julie is having eyes for Noel. Like, we see her having a couple of reactions, especially when Ruby comes around to Noel, a little bit of jealousy. I know that Julie was asking Elena like probing questions about Noel's interest in Ruby and if the situation, the pregnancy situation wasn't something, if Noel would still be interested. Like, it's pretty obvious that Julie is interested in Noel. And I guess my question is, like, do you think that Noel is interested in Julie? Because I'm kind of not seeing that for Julie.
I agree with you. I think right now we're in the midst of some really wonky love triangles.
Yeah.
Because we have Greg, Ben, Felicity, which we'll get into later. We have Noel, Ruby, and then you got Wade over here and you got Julie over here. So like Julie is crushing on Noel, but Noel's a little bit still hung up on Ruby. And Ruby is like, you know, because of the pregnancy thing, her and Noel really aren't together, but she's trying to get along with Wade for the sake of the baby. So it's like very confusing. And all of this is happening under one roof, which is just amazing, incredible, spicy, eat it up.
And I also think that Noel, like, still keeps tabs on Felicity and what Felicity is doing. Like, I don't think he's very outward on it. I just think that he always has one eye focused on, like, who she's talking to. Like, what is she doing? And that might be, like, a protection type of thing or, like, a longing type of thing. But
I think you're right. I think it's in the way that you kind of keep tabs on an ex, especially when they're like still in your life. They're still in your friend group. So it's not like you can avoid them. So I totally agree with you. I think he's like a little bit involved in that. He wants to know what's going on with Felicity. So it's tricky. Like, I totally agree with you, especially in the scene where we have they're all kind of paired off playing different games. And we get these kind of longing glances from one person to another. And Julie's looking at Noel. And I think, I don't know. In my opinion, Sarah, I think we're going to end the season with Ruby and Noel are like officially kaput. Like, there's no hope for that happening. And I think, because you had guessed she's going to go to Colorado and not come back, I still think that could happen. Or like maybe she moves to LA or where, right? Is that where she was? LA with Wade or something? Like, and not to like necessarily be romantic, but in terms of like co-parenting, that could be a thing. So I do think that is going to happen. And I do think Julie is going to attempt to make a move on Noel by the end of the season. I don't know if he's going to reciprocate right away, or like maybe she's going to do a friend dresser and like that's going to like turn Noel's mind around, you know? I don't know, but I could see them. I do think they make an interesting pair. I do think it works. Like, when you think about their personality types and kind of their motivations and all of that, it does feel like it could work.
Yeah, they are both what I call high strung, like flowy. Like, they can, they're
high strung flowy. Is that what you said?
Sure. They are like either go with the flow, like easy breezy, or they're like out of 10. You know what I mean? Yeah. And oftentimes
they kind of get like worked up about like very specific things. It's very much like my personality. Like I'm like pretty, I'm usually at like a four, unless I'm depressed, which is most of the time. And then I'm like a two, but like, I'm never like that actively bothered. No, that's not true. I'm pretty bothered all the time. I'm just saying that like, I never get like, I don't know. It like, once I get going, I'm going, but like sometimes it takes a little bit to get me going. And that's kind of like them. Like the two of them are kind of just like, blah, blah, they're just like bopping. I don't know. And then like, then they get like really like passionate about stuff. I don't know. I guess like they just make sense a little bit, but also like, I don't want to play musical dating. You know what I mean?
I know, but we're in a teen drama, so we have to like know that that inevitably will happen. Like that everyone's going to get with everyone at some point. As long as they don't put Elena and Noel together, then I'll be fine.
As long as Elena never strays from Tracy, then I'm fine.
Yes. Okay, so that's kind of where we're at with the Noel Ruby. Wade is now he's visiting.
Wade and like seems fine. Like, I don't know.
Seems like a nice enough guy. Ruby seems pretty far along at this point. Like, she has like a bump full on.
She's 5 months along. Okay. So like Wade is like the producer from the movie. He's obviously older. He looks older than the rest of the crew. You know, he shows up. He's told. He comes within like a few weeks to talk to Ruby. He seems like a good enough guy. Like he gets thrown into a very awkward situation of being introduced to like every single one of her friends. And everybody stares at him knowing that he's the one that got Ruby pregnant. And then he remembers facts about like Felicity. Like, oh, you're the RA. Like she said.
That was really impressive. Yeah. Like that means that he was an active listener when Ruby was speaking to him, which is a green flag. That is a bright green flag, having an active listener as a partner.
Good looking guy, like once again seems like mature enough to show up and like talk it out. Like I don't know what kind of responsibility he's taking on in Ruby and the baby's life, but enough to open up the conversation. So it seems as though Ruby is at the very least, from as much as we know, in decent hands with Wade. And seems like a good enough guy. And I don't know if like we're going to see more of Wade. I'm assuming we're going to see like the resolution of what Ruby decides to do. But yeah, like he seems fine. Like I don't think that he's certainly not a Greg.
Oh my God. I really. If they could just give us like a single thing to make us like Greg, I would appreciate that. But I haven't found one.
No, it's found one. It's truly impossible.
Let's talk about the circumstances surrounding everyone having to be at the loft, because we have a water main break in the dorms, which is why Felicity, Megan, and Ruby all end up at the loft. Huge leak. Megan using bubble gum to attempt to stop it. Iconic. Love that. Hilarious. I
was gonna ask if it was Megan's fault because she, I don't know.
No, there would have been a leak no matter what.
It seemed like it escalated really quickly, but she probably, if she noticed a leak, she probably could have reached out to maintenance and
tried
to fix it with bubble gum. But also, I mean, we love a handy girl.
I mean, she's an entrepreneur, you know, she's just trying to take care of shit herself. So love that. And then Felicity and Ruby get invited to stay at the loft because poor Ruby, like she can't be 5 months pregnant, like sleeping in the cafeteria. I'd be pissed off if I was paying for room and fucking board and you're putting me with 100 strangers in a cafeteria on a fucking cot. Absolutely not.
Well, everybody in this situation is paying room and board, Jess.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody is. Yeah, they should be getting accommodations.
Where are they going to get put up? In hotels? I don't know,
a hotel, something.
Yeah, I mean, that seems pretty expensive. It's an unfortunate situation. The whole floor is flooded.
Felicity's shit is like ruined.
Well, that's like the question. I thought it was so freaking funny because the whole entire, all the water comes down and like everything is like flooded. Like there's like, I don't know, a couple of inches of water on the ground, if not more. And I cracked up when, because like they were having a sleepover at first in the cafeteria, and Ruby and Felicity were together, and they were like talking about like they were having girl time, because Ruby was like, is it true that you like chase after Ben? Based off of what he said in a yearbook, because like Noel was like kind of a chatty Cathy about it. But it was so funny to me how Felicity, like the one thing that Felicity saved from the flood was her yearbook with fucking Ben's note. I was like, how
ridiculous.
Okay, so like,
do you even have this at college is the main question. Like, especially because Felicity, my girl, I'm assuming she fucking flew here, she didn't drive. So you're telling me you had a 50 pound maximum on your luggage to fly to New York City, and you packed that fucking yearbook?
That was so funny to me. And the fact that like not only did she bring the yearbook from home, but also she was like, oh, I have to like, I don't know, grab a bag or like some things and make sure like my things don't get ruined. And that's the first thing that she grabs.
Yeah, well, I know. And the way this show tries to gaslight us into being like, no, this is romantic, this is a Fran Drescher, like this is, you know what I mean? Instead of just being like, no, that was wild that she did that. And she absolutely was a stalker, and she shouldn't have done it.
I don't know. I think like in retrospect, they were definitely feeding us the what do we call it? The
Felicity?
Felicity? Is that what we – I've never
seen
that.
I mean, it's Finn or Felicity. I was going to go with Felicity.
They were definitely feeding us that juice this episode, and I was eating it up, even though, like, legally, I am totally Felicity.
Legally, you are very much Nullicity. Yes. What are we going to do? We need names.
These ship names just don't work, but
Because Pandy never will be. Sorry, not sorry.
I just, like, am really feeling it. I don't know. Like, I just
– it's the Fran Drescher, Sarah. Literally, if someone barges in and is like, I don't care about this man, I took a train all this way up here just to tell you I love you, there is something in your loins.
I mean, I've been feeling it for a while.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
But let's like take a step back, because not only do we have Ruby, Megan, and Felicity staying at the loft, who already has three people in Sean, Ben, and Julie, but we also have Noel and Elena get kind of like kicked out of their apartment, because essentially, and this is like, I'm like so annoyed with Elena, but like I guess this is just like her thing, because Mr. Man knows that Elena will never get to the remodeling of the apartment. And like episodes ago, they were ripping up wallpaper and they were going to paint, and then some other drama happened. So like there's been like peeling wallpaper. It looks disgusting. And he's like, hey, like, I want to do this for you. I've hired this guy that knows a guy that knows how to wallpaper. Like, we're going to take care of it. And Lena's like, no, I want to do it. And he's like, no, like, let me take care of it. Like, I know how to do it. It's going to be okay. She's like, don't make a mess. And it's like, he needs time to, like,
she was right. Did you see what he did to the apartment?
Things have to get messy to get, like, I don't know. I don't know.
But why were they, like, choking? I don't think that wallpaper remover should do that.
Well, they used the wrong, like, liquid.
Yeah, so obviously this guy wasn't qualified.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He is, but, like, give him time. Like, he's going to make it right.
Sure, but I could understand being upset in the moment when you're told, like, don't worry, babe, I got this covered. This guy knows what he's doing. And I come into my apartment and it's a fucking mess, and I'm choking on fumes.
He asked for time. Give him the time. I'm positive.
You know, I love acts of service. But acts of service that destroy my apartment and make me
not
leave it.
Not going to be destroyed. I guarantee you.
Well, the worst part is Noel.
It's going to look amazing.
Noel didn't agree to this.
Noel doesn't care. It's Elena.
And he does care. He's choking on bad fumes.
Noel doesn't care.
Also, did you see the little when
So when Julie is like, oh, don't worry, Elena, you can stay at our loft, like, blah, 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 blah. And then she looks at Noel and she's like, oh, you too. And like, she had a little smirky smirkerson on her face.
Oh, I know. Oh, no. I know. I saw it. So you do not like what Tracy is doing.
I like the idea of what Tracy is doing. However, I think, you know, what's really nice is it felt like Tracy was like, don't worry, Elena, this is a hired professional. When in reality, it was like, don't worry, Elena, this is my best friend. He Googled how to remove wallpaper. Like, it doesn't feel like they're professionals. And I would be nervous because, first of all, you got to get your fucking deposit back. Like, this is an apartment. This is not a house. And I'm just saying, I like the idea of it more than I liked. And I'm a bit more like Elena. I'm a bit of a control freak. So I wouldn't like handing the reins over to someone else. But fair enough that she would never have finished that project. Like, she started it and she was not finishing it because there were way too many layers of wallpaper.
Well, then, like, she was too busy with her schoolwork. Yeah, I don't know. For me, it's like, if he asked for X amount of days and she came back before those X amount of days to
did he all- though?
I don't know. But that I just feel like, you know, let him do his shit. And I guarantee you by the end of it, it's going to look beautiful. Like, she's not going to – next episode, we're not going to go back into the episode and the apartment's going to be a mess. It's going to be the most gorgeous apartment that ever lived.
I'm looking at what exactly happened. Okay, Elena says, you cannot make a mess in here. Noel and I still have to live here. And he says, there will be no mess, all right? It'll be like three cleanup days and that's it, right?
Yeah.
Three.
It'll take 3 days.
She says, I need to live here.
No. But he got kicked out. It was 3 cleanup days after they do the work. That he should have clarified that.
Yeah, exactly.
We will finish the work and it'll take 3 days to clean.
There will be no mess, is what he says. Anyway, that's what all leads to an incredible loft party thrown by Sean. First of all, Sean, my guy Sean, comes out with the board games, and you know I was all in on this. He had Boggle, which flashback to Noel and Felicity making out over Boggle. I love that the show like had a little call out to like their time playing Boggle together.
That's cute, yeah.
Twister, there was Trouble, Operation, a lot of classics in there. Big fan of this. I thought this was so fun. And I love, Sarah, that everyone leaned into this. Like, everyone was like, yes, game night. Can I say my one problem with this?
What's that?
Okay. This is a college loft party. Okay. Mm-hmm. This isn't your 12-year-old's birthday party. Okay. We're in college. Okay. Where's the fucking alcohol? Where are the drinking games, Sarah?
Oh, that's true.
Get a messy. You know, I'm going to shout out to our favorite Dawson's Creek moment, or at least one of our favorites. Mm-hmm. I got the blues, baby. Dawson and Andy getting drunk. Like, give them some beer. And I'm just saying, like, we're in college, baby. If you're having a game night, you better be playing Kings. You better be playing Never Have I Ever. You better be playing strip poker. Like, where are the fun party college-y drinking games?
These kids don't know how to have fun.
They really don't.
They really don't. None of them were that, except kind of Ben. None of them were that fun. And Tracy.
It's
true. Who's fun?
No, you're right. I mean, Sean's fun. I find Sean fun.
Sean's fun-ish, but he's
Ben's
also
the funnest. Yeah.
Always swindling his shit. I think Tracy's very fun.
Tracy's fun, but he was too busy with the wallpaper.
You want to do fun rankings?
Elena's
1,000% the least fun.
This is rude. I take offense.
So unfun. In my opinion, she's like also like when she's not being like super serious and unfun, then she's competitive, which I find.
Felicity feels like the wettest blanket.
Can you just fucking listen to me for one fucking second?
Never.
Shut your mouth. Because when she's not being uber serious, she's very, very competitive, which I find not fun.
I find very fun.
No,
I'm going to do my own ranking and you could do your own ranking.
Okay. I don't want to hang out with Elena.
We need Ben, Sean, Felicity, Julie, Noel.
Okay. Noel's pretty unfun too.
I was thinking the same thing.
Javier is like number one.
Javier is so fun. Second.
Did you hear that Javier is going to college next year?
Yes. Yes. And I was obsessed with this as a storyline, Sarah. If we come back in season 3 and Javier is in Felicity's classes,
I will vomit and die simultaneously because I'll be so excited.
Javier's enrolling. That is a thousand. Javier is pretty fun. Sean's really, well, Sean's a mid fun. I mean, he's just hawking his shit all the time.
I'm putting Ruby in my rankings as well.
Ruby's not very fun.
Okay, I think I have mine ready.
God, Julie's just like singing.
Oh, well, Tracy's all the time. A great time. I'm gonna put him on here too.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine is Ben at the top.
Yeah.
Then Javier. Mm-hmm. Then Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
Then Sean, Elena, Ruby, Julie. But I could honestly flip those. Then Felicity and Noel. Noel feels very sad. Okay,
Megan.
Oh shit, Megan's fun. I'm gonna put Megan. I'll put Megan under Tracy.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so
yeah,
I have Javier is number one fun for me. So many jokes, such a good time.
Yeah.
Then Ben's very fun. Then Tracy, then Megan, then I think Felicity. Felicity's
fun for me.
And then because it's like Julie and Sean are equally fun because like they're like kind of fun, but then like one of them's gonna be hawking his shit the other time. The other one's gonna be singing her sad sack songs. So like, they're like both equally like kind of unfun. And Ruby's a wet blanket. Noel's not fun. And Elena, I just don't want to hang out with Elena. Like she is too opinionated. She like spreads all my secrets. She's too competitive. Like, I don't know. Like, I just like can't ever see a world where like Elena and I, just based off personalities, could mesh because I think I'm too sensitive for her.
Yeah.
And I think that she's too like brash for me.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
But I mean, I don't know. And I don't want to be all like competitive with her. But the point is, like, I think that like I personally would have like the best time with Javier because we'd be sitting in this corner talking shit about everybody. And that is my brand of fun.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. Yes. Yeah. Okay, let's get into the meat and potatoes here because we got to talk about the trip to Rhinebeck. First of all, we got to talk about the logistics of this and how ridiculous it is. We heard from a friend of the podcast, Nick W. And first of all, I need to say, legally, as an upstate New Yorker, he has no idea what he's talking about in terms of what upstate New York is.
No,
that's a whole other matter.
I was more on his side of things than yours. But
I know, but as someone from New Jersey, your opinion doesn't count.
Okay.
Moving on to what Nick said about Rhinebeck. Okay. Apparently, okay, because we talked about Rhinebeck in general and how Ben gets a ticket on the train to go to Rhinebeck. And Nick was saying, Rhinebeck is north of Poughkeepsie, which means it's not on the Metro North, which means Ben is going to have a very difficult time getting there from Grand Central, which only services the Metro North.
So then how would a person...
A taxi. We do see him get a taxi. But my question for you, Sarah, is like, we know he knew Felicity and Greg were going to Rhinebeck. Did he know the exact name of like the cabins they were staying in? Like, this isn't, from what I understand, he booked a cabin. This wasn't like a family cabin. Is that right?
Yeah. This seems to be so. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming that he did not go to every single, cabin
and breakfast or whatever.
Like I'm assuming that that's like not what they did, unless that was a missing scene that we somehow missed out on. But I'm gonna just say like Megan told him specifics. That's like the only thing. Like maybe Felicity, because this is before the time of like Find My Friend and texting and whatever, and it's not like you can tell like your friend, like, hey, like, I'm going to be here.
Yes.
Like, this is whatever, like, you know, my location, I'm sharing it with you. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Felicity, as like Megan's kind of emergency contact, would be like, I'm staying here, like, in case I never come back, like, this is where I'm going to be.
Yeah, and not only that, but like you said earlier, he has Sean's cell phone. So he has some sort of communication But like, I don't even know. Did he just take? No, did Sean give it to him or did he take it? I don't remember.
He did take it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
he's pretty rude, honestly.
Well, I mean, he kind of needs it more. So the negotiations were like, I guess Sean was just being a good friend and was like, I will cover your shift at Dina and DeLuca, and you go and you find love. And then taking the phone was not part of the deal, but then Sean was like, okay, you can have my phone as long as you're answering
Bloomberg Productions.
Yeah, if I get a call, then you better do it professionally. But Ben somehow finds the cabin that Felicity and Greg are staying at, and he does like a little bit of like creeping.
He does reconnaissance. Yeah. He's being a little bit of a peeping Tom. He's pulling some angel moves from Buffy.
Cause he doesn't want to like just go there and be like, hey, you know, he especially doesn't want to talk to Greg. So he's kind of snooping and he like calls Sean a couple times and is like, they look really happy. Like, I think like they're canoeing together. Like, I think that like I might be making a mistake. And eventually Sean is just like, find a moment where you can just get Felicity alone and like tell her. And he kind of waits until Greg goes and gets firewood from the main house. So like maybe it is like a family home. And then
I thought it was more of like cabins that you rent out and they sell firewood at like the main office or something.
Sure.
Who knows? It doesn't particularly matter, but yeah. Ben shows up and he scares the shit out of Felicity.
Well, I also love that, like, he was like, Sean, or Sean was like, watch out. Oh, no. Greg was like, hey, watch out for, like, creepy guys that, like, sneak in the woods.
Yes.
And then
there's Ben.
Ben's like, surprise. And Ben kind of does not even get to say his piece because when Felicity opens the door and talks to Ben, she kind of just like gets on him for the whole revealing the Greg drugs thing because she didn't get to talk about that prior to this. So she's really like reaming his ass hard and he doesn't even get to say like, I am in love with you because she's too busy being like, we're kind of at the point where like, she assumes that he's here just solely to say, I'm sorry. And that is not the sole reason for Ben being here. He doesn't even get to the point.
No, but I think it's better. I think it's better because I don't think you want to profess your love for someone when they're in the middle of being really, really angry at you.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially when like he's like, no, please, I just need to talk. And she's just like, absolutely not. And she says, I don't want you in my life anymore. And then she like slams the door in his face. And that was like, ooh, that was like a rough one. I don't know. That's a really rough thing to say to someone. I don't want you in my life anymore. Like, yeah. I don't know how you then follow that up with like I love you. You know what I mean? Like you can't really. You can't.
Yeah.
And Felicity, this is all in her head. Right. And like Greg feels like, and maybe I'm trying to spin another narrative on this because I already don't like Greg. But didn't this read to you as Greg is like very pushy about like moving faster with Felicity? Like it felt like he was very much like, we're going to get in bed together and naked time. I don't know. It just felt like he was a little pushy about it. And when she's not like, when she backs away and says, no, I'm like, sorry, he backs off. He does say like, I'll sleep on the couch. But when she says Ben showed up, he flips out because that's in her head. And in my opinion, like he overreacts, Sarah, because we know Felicity really does have feelings for Ben, but let's pretend that she doesn't. A man shows up, one of your friends shows up, like tries to talk to you, and you get in an argument with him and tell him you don't want him in your life, that's still going to emotionally affect you.
Yeah. I mean, I think that what Felicity was trying to say was like, because Greg was like, you know, you didn't like shoo him away and you're not celebrating and you like don't seem very happy and like you pushed me away. And it's like, well, I mean, she's very shaken up because she didn't expect Ben to come out all this way. And it's like kind of like an upsetting experience that she had. And Greg's not very sympathetic to the fact that like maybe Felicity needs like a couple of moments to process this. And it that doesn't mean that like she has feelings for Ben or wants Ben. It's just like, it was like, it was an upsetting situation. Like they got, yeah. She got like, she was in a space where she felt safe and like, you know, thought that she was going to have some time away. She gets a knock on the door and it's like, you know, her ex, she gets into this confrontation. She like yells at him and he like, you know, it's just like a, all in all, like a really upsetting situation. And he's just like so not like receptive to hearing her out that like that was like it was upsetting and it was just upsetting. And it wasn't like it was not upsetting because like she wants him. It's upsetting because the situation was really weird.
Yeah. And it's I feel like he totally overreacts too, because then right, like he's like, this weekend was supposed to be out us. We were supposed to get away from everything, but I guess it's not the time. I'll be in the car. And it's like, what the fuck, bro? Like you planned a whole weekend. Like you can't give her an hour to like calm down from this confrontation. He just had such a big reaction to this. It was so annoying. And the only like modicum of credit that I will give him, and it's a pinch of credit is all I will give him, is when Felicity then, you know, goes back to the dorm, obviously there's a flood, whatever, she ends up staying in the loft. I wouldn't be too happy if it was like the guy you just told you don't want it in your life anymore. Now you're staying at his place. But again, she had a flood. Where is she supposed to go?
I mean, I guess the answer is maybe
his place,
but like I wouldn't want to hang out with him. He's exactly. kind of a douche. Yeah. And she can't hang out. Like ideally she would go to Elena and Knowles, but she can't go there.
Exactly.
I guess Javier, but Javier also was like, I'm going to like sandwich you with my husband. It's like, no, I don't really want to be with Javier. I mean, I guess she can go to her dad, because isn't her dad still in New York?
I guess so.
But maybe. Who wants to hang out with Mr.
Are they even? No, I guess they did make up. But yeah. And then it's so then they like they do talk like later, and she says she feels awful. Like you made us this great meal, but now we had to drive back to the city. And so he asks like, oh, well, let's go to dinner. And so they, again, we have this whole scene where they're all leaving or whatever. And Felicity goes to dinner with Greg, and Ben in his infinite wisdom follows them. And this is where I'm like, okay, I feel like the grand gesture, if you will, has its limits, Sarah. And I feel like having this proclamation while the person that you're interested in is literally at a restaurant at dinner with their current possible maybe boyfriend, I just don't think you do this in front of that guy. I feel like you need to have Felicity one-on-one, because you're constantly being like, no, bro, shut up. I'm trying to proclaim my love for your girlfriend. Like, this is, it just feels like a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing is a bad idea, truly. But I mean, I guess the guys are just like, we got to shoot her shot. Like, we got to do it. But he kind of like, you know, fucked it up too.
Yeah. It's, I mean, yeah, I did like it, because I also think it makes Greg look bad ultimately. Greg, like, I feel like bad. Greg handles this very poorly as well. But yeah, so he's like, he comes in and he's just like, I made a ton of mistakes. I shouldn't have let you go. And Felicity, rightfully so, I will say, is like, no, 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 no. We've tried this before. Like, you're all about the chase. I can't trust what you're saying right now. Like, yeah,
this was such a cool interaction, because like, it was essentially like, you know, what we kind of joked about, like, what, like every year is Ben going to propose like a big trip to her during the summer? And like, and yeah, it was kind of very deja vu, because once again, last year she was with Noel and he was like, run away with me. And this year she's with Greg and he's like, come run away with me. And she's like, no, yeah, like this is just pattern. Like, rinse and repeat. Like, this is just like your thing. Yes. And as much like, you know, as much as Ben can say, like, it's different this time, like, how can Felicity trust that?
And that's what I loved. I loved the callback of like, we've been here before. You've done this before. Like, how am I supposed to know that this time it's real, you know? So I did appreciate that from Felicity. And of course, ultimately, this ends up in Greg and Ben fighting on the floor. And Felicity goes to like help Ben because freaking Ben punches, Greg punches Ben in the face. And then Felicity does end up leaving with Greg. But we have to talk about Megan's Sarah McLachlan theory.
Ooh.
Because I adored this and I feel like it has layers, right? So this is when we're there with Ben, Megan, and Sean. And Megan is saying, like, it's fine. She wants you to. And Ben is like, wait a minute. What are you talking about? And she's like, I'm her roommate. I pick up on subtleties. And apparently, way back when Felicity originally came to college, she played Sarah McLachlan all the time. It was all Sarah McLachlan. And I love that Megan called this quote unquote Ben music.
Yes.
It just like cracked me up. And then she said, then it went away. And I thought Sarah McLachlan was gone for good. But then when you offered Felicity this cross country trip, Sarah McLachlan came back. And then she went away again with the breakup and along with Felicity's hair there, Sarah went again. And then when you broke into the pool, guess who I was listening to again? Sarah McLachlan. And so she says, like, if you ever want to know if Felicity's into you, check her boombox. That's how you know. And that's kind of what brings Ben to going there originally. So I have a few questions for you, Sarah. Mm-hmm. They are, do you buy this theory in that is Megan just making shit up because she wants Greg herself? And then number two, do you have a Sarah McLachlan? Do you have like Adam music? Do you have like, do you know what I mean? Do you follow this sort of pattern that Felicity does? Because you're more of a music person than I am.
Yeah, I do believe this. Like, I can totally see Felicity doing this, maybe absolutely unintentionally, but I do believe this. And I very much listen to music and it affects my moods greatly. So I know when I went through my breakup in college, I was like juuling it a lot.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And like, I remember one of my best college friends was just like, Sarah, you have to stop with the juul. and also like, I definitely like remember certain CDs that I listen to a lot, or albums, records, whatever, that kind of like represent different times of my life. Mm-hmm. So like Born to Die, Lana Del Rey's Born to Die was very like senior year coded of college for me. Talking about Adam, like Speak Now, Taylor's version came out like when Adam and I started getting
closer.
Yeah. And so like I definitely, there's like a lot of songs that like I kind of associate with him and that time period of my life. Like, I'm very guided and directed by music in my mm-hmm. life. Like, yeah, there's definitely songs and music that I listen to a lot. And there was and absolutely, like, once again, like when I was kind of going through my breakup a bit more than a year ago, like there was this one song that I listened to like literally on repeat, that like it was like actually a problem how often I listened to that song. So yeah, like I absolutely buy into this, and I think it's like extremely relatable. And I know that a lot of people are not big like music people, but I certainly am.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I've ever I guess when I was a teenager, this was more of a thing for me. I felt like music was a bigger deal for me when I was around that age versus now. Now I just,
did you listen to music like today? Like, is there days that you literally don't listen to any music? Cause like I am listening to music pretty much like, not like all day, but like I can be like, I'll listen to music and then like I'll do something and then I'll go downstairs, I'll play a song, I go in the car, I play music. Like, are there days where like you literally don't listen to anything?
Yeah, I haven't listened to any music today because most of the time I'm not a person who lives my life silently. Not that that's hard to believe, but like if I am sitting in silence, it is extremely rare. It's just 90% of the time, if I'm doing something like the dishes or mowing the lawn or whatever, I'm listening to a podcast or an audiobook. It's rare that I'm just putting music on. Usually the only time that happens is if I'm in the car with someone else, and like we don't have a joint podcast to listen to. Like, you know, Will and I listen to very similar podcasts, so sometimes we'll put a podcast on if we both, you know, are in the mood for that. But usually it's music. And the only other time is if it's like I'm out of podcasts and I'm not currently listening to an audiobook, then I'll throw music on. But it is pretty rare. I'm not as much, I don't know. I don't find it as mentally stimulating as like a podcast is, I guess. And this is not me saying like music isn't mentally stimulating. No. It's like my brain. Yeah. I need more because I find maybe what it is. And who knows if this is ADHD or anxiety, both probably. To keep my mind from moving a million miles an hour, I need to focus on something else and I can tune music out. Whereas like podcasts, I'm more actively listening than passively listening. And so maybe that's what the difference is for me.
Maybe. A lot of days I wake up and I already have like a song stuck in my head.
You know, can I tell you what song I've had in my head all day?
What's that?
The Veronica Mars theme song.
Oh, yeah.
A long time ago, we used to be friends. I'm
first his ass back to that.
I've heard. I'm currently watching the show and listening to the podcast along with it. And I did hear that he throws his ass around to it. And I
and like
all I could picture was the like, I don't know how to describe this dance. Okay, so like if you put your hands out in front of you, like palms out,
yeah,
and then you scoot your ass back, that is what I picture he does.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, yeah. I mean, a lot of the times we watched it in bed, so
he couldn't exactly just.
But that's not what it was.
Yeah, I kind of figured, but yeah. So that song has been in my head, but that's because I've been watching a lot of Veronica Mars, and it's a fucking great theme song. But anyway. I don't remember. We were talking about music. How do we get on this topic? Oh, the Sarah McLachlan of it all. Yes. So I love this. I love this as a character note. I love this as proof that she has feelings for Ben, because these are the quiet things she does in like the safety of her dorm room that like she may not even realize she's doing. That's what I love about it. And I also love that we don't necessarily know if Megan is telling the truth or not, because she fucking likes Greg. So I think this is really funny that like there's a possibility that she's maybe not even lying, but like exaggerating.
She's a pretty unreliable narrator, and I'm okay with that.
Same.
Because
it's incredible.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So we're not going to be waiting much longer before Ben and Felicity are together. Like, it's just going to happen. Greg sucks. Like, everyone knows Greg sucks. Yeah. There's nothing redeeming about him. He's liked the cabin in Rhinebeck. That was really nice.
Oh, yeah. I would love to go to, like, a log cabin like that. The issue is that, like, the outside is so cute, but the inside feels so dinged to me. Like, this is very much like, okay, so your homes in your cabin homes, right?
My parents' cabins,
There's two. One, they're both very, very cute, but one is like a lot more modern on the inside. And you were like, my good friend Sarah needs to stay here because this is going to be like her happy space. If you sent me over to the other cabin,
you would have not liked it. Yeah,
I wouldn't have survived because like it's a lot more like what you saw in like the Felicity. It's like very cabiny,
and yeah, it still has like plumbing and everything, but the decor and the vibe is more modern.
But I like if it was, I do like a log cabin. I just want it to be like very modern on the inside.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what it is? One of the cabins feels like a lake house and the other cabin feels more like a mountain house. I feel like that's where I can
truly have no idea what that means.
It's fine.
I'm an indoor cat.
Yeah. Let's talk through some feedback here. Emily, I do want to list off this because Emily is incredible. And she sent us, she said, some more candidates for Most Beautiful Woman. Marina Bakarin, I don't think I know who that is. Reese Witherspoon, Rosamund Pike, Bachelorette Tayshia, Megan Fahey, Emily Rosam from Shameless, and what's it? What's the theater one? What's the mask one?
Phantom of the Opera.
Thank you. Morfydd Clark. Oh my God, some of these names. I'm so sorry, Emily. What is this name? Saoirse Ronan. This looks like it's Irish.
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah.
So, you picked Emily. Emily did this on purpose. She's like, I'm gonna pick the hardest to pronounce names and put them all on one list. So I can't pronounce any of these. Also, Emily asked us to rank the games at game night. So let me list them for you. And you could even just pick your like top three if you want.
I just love game night.
I love game night. We have Backgammon, Life. Connect Four.
Life you love for life. Me is number one for me. I love Life.
Okay. Connect Four, Boggle, Battleship, Trouble, Mastermind, Twister, Jenga, and Operation. These are all classics.
Some of these, like, I don't know how to play Backgammon. Like, I know what it is, but I've never played Mastermind.
Mastermind's really fun. I like Mastermind.
I would play – Life is my all-time favorite board game. Okay. I really love Life. I've always loved Life since I was a kid. I don't mind Battleship and I don't mind Operation, but I also kind of don't like games. And Adam is obsessed with games.
It's one of your big character flaw. Yeah.
That's what he told me. He said that was my ick because it's like, have you ever asked Will what your ick is?
What grosses him out about me?
Yeah.
No, I should. Let me ask. I'll message him while we're doing this.
Yeah. Cause he said, Adam said like my ick was that I don't like board games that much. I don't like games, but he like just forces me to play games and I do it. Like, it's not like I say no, it just doesn't bring me all the joy in the world.
Messaged him.
I love games where like I am like working on my own board and like, I don't care if I lose.
No one can fuck around with you.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't, like, I love Wingspan because
The birds. Yeah,
I just work on my board. Like, sure, like, there's points, and sometimes I've never won that game. I lose every time.
I understand exactly what you're saying because I love those types of games, too. Like, have you played Ticket to Ride? You have, right? The trains?
No, I haven't, but I know
you would like that one because it's also very, like, you're doing your own thing.
Yeah, we have Ticket to Ride. I like Azul is like that. Like
Azul, yes.
You're just like kind of like working on your own. And that's what I like because I was always a kid that just liked to like draw my own. Like we can co-play. We can coexist. But like as soon as like you fuck up my board, like I was playing that villainous game.
Oh yeah, with the Disney villains.
And it's like that one, like you're kind of doing like your own shit, but then it's like, but then fucking Adam like throws a wrench and shit. I'm just like, just leave me alone. Like
stop making this competitive.
Like Captain Hook is literally just trying to kill Peter Pan and just let me do my thing.
So do you like cooperative games?
I guess, but I'd rather just play with myself and then you can play next to me. And then if I lose, I don't really care because like I was having fun on my own.
Wow. Okay. So back to these games. I think.
Yeah. What do you like?
I like Boggle. I actually kind of want Boggle. I'm surprised we don't own Boggle. Operation is like a very fun throwback one. Mm-hmm. And I do like Trouble and Mastermind. Twister is dumb. Throw Twister out.
Annoying because it's just like, once again, like, let me do my job. And like, let me just go around the board. Like, you can, you can be on your own. I'm not messing with you. Mm-hmm. Like, Trouble and Sorry, like, please. Just like,
yeah, Sorry is a pain in the ass. It is.
Like, please, for goodness sake. Like, I am just rolling my dice. Like, yeah. Let the dice tell us who the winner is. Like, don't.
That's bump just chance.
Yeah.
See, you like the games that I hate. I hate games that are all chance because it's like, I can't even put my stamp on this. Like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, I do like Clue because sometimes I like doing my little tricks, but mm-hmm. most of the time I play with people that are equally,
you mean, not
more strategic than I am.
So. Do you mean little tricks by you cheat?
What do you mean I cheat?
Yes. Okay. That's what you
mean. No, I don't cheat. No. I meant like my, I'm not going to tell you my Clue strategy, but it's not.
Oh, cheating. You just have a strategy. Okay.
Yeah. It's not.
When you say little tricks, it sounds like you're trying to cheat at the game.
Oh no, I do cheat like at most games that I play. I think, yeah. I told you one time.
That doesn't bother Adam at all. His Libra-ness, that does not bother him at all.
Well, no, because sometimes he's in on it.
In on it.
Yeah, like we were playing this game. I don't know what it was. It was some sort of like betting game. And it was like during Christmas with his family. And like I straight up just stole money from the pot and nobody saw. And we won.
What kind of betting game was it?
I don't remember.
Well, I want to know. So find betting, out.
Betting game, board game. I don't know. But yeah, I straight up, like, we won that game because I just like, Wits and Wagers.
Oh, I know that game.
I just straight up stole the money from the pot.
Wow.
Yeah.
We had, are you ready
nobody
to,
ever questioned it. What
are you
was
ready
that?
To find out what Will's ick for me is? Apparently, yes. I have two.
Okay.
And I think one of them, actually, it's funny because I think that I have the same opinion as your partner. Mm-hmm. So here are the two icks. I don't like some good movies. And he referenced Clue because I don't really care for the movie Clue. And it's like his favorite movie.
Oh, that's upsetting. That's him. Adam's favorite movie. Yeah.
I know.
And Adam hates all movies.
Well, that's the thing. So the other one that Will has is me not wanting to watch movies because they're quote unquote too long.
Yeah.
Which is me. Every time he tries to put a movie on, I'm like, nah, it's too long. I don't want to watch it. But I'll watch two episodes of a show.
Adam has the same opinion on that. He actually like got very much tortured by having to watch LA Confidential. But then like that movie looks so boring. Like I sat next to him. I'm like, why are you being forced to watch this boring ass movie?
Oh, it's a movie. Okay, I don't know what this is. I've never seen it.
I don't know. Don't skip that podcast. I shouldn't say that because
he's not gonna listen to this. He doesn't listen to the Felicity podcast. So you're allowed to say whatever you want here.
I guess so. That's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on with some more feedback. So from Jamie, according to Megan, Greg knows how to work it. However, I have seen no evidence of that in the 8 episodes we've seen him in. I honestly do not get what either Megan or Felicity see in him. At least with Felicity, it's clear he is simply a distraction from Ben, but Megan actually seems into him, and I don't get why. Megan, Sarah McLachlan was iconic. And Ben's reaction was hysterical. It's funny to me how Ben still looks to Sean for reassurance when Sean is the one who got him in this whole mess with Felicity.
Yeah,
it's true. As much as Ben has screwed things up with Felicity, it totally broke my heart when she told him she didn't want him in her life or when she went after Greg after he punched him. I thought his speech to Felicity was sweet and heartfelt and not about the chase, but I can totally see why Felicity would think that. I'm still team Ben.
Yeah.
Welcome to the team, Jamie. Happy to have you.
Oh, no. Okay. No, not to. I said, yeah. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, no, no.
Yeah.
No. How dare you? How dare you? Team Noel. I mean, Noel eventually is going to get his, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then some. We got a message from Temmie this week. This is interesting. No voicemail from Temmie, but we did get a message. So we know he's not mad at us. Are you Saved by the Bell fans? And how did your podcast logo come about?
Oh, I've never seen Saved by the Bell, actually.
This is wild to me because I feel like you would have been a Kelly Kapowski stan.
Should I get into it? Do you think
I think you should? But I do. I think you might need to, because if you start at the beginning, they're really, really young. So I think you kind of want to jump a little bit ahead.
How am I supposed to do that, though?
I don't know. But I Saved by the Bell is one of the shows that I remember watching at my babysitter's when I was definitely too young to be watching it. And I absolutely adored it. I feel like it was one of the first like theme songs I was like super into.
Yeah. Is Kelly Pat Kapowski the one that took Speed?
No, that's Jesse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What is it? I'm so excited.
I don't know.
That was Jesse. She was stressed because she was trying to get like schoolwork done. She had too much going on.
Yeah. Okay. Our podcast logo, which actually this is like such a good timing because we just celebrated our 4-year podcast anniversary.
Yes.
So we were trying to come up with podcast ideas, and I wanted something to be a little bit like 90s-ish, and I probably was like Googling like 90s logos or something along those lines, and I did like a rough concept, and we showed it. We gave it to a buddy of ours, and he kind of, who's a graphic designer, and he... Shout out to Drew, and he like made it look like super professional. So, I can share like the early rough drafts of what we did. It had like more colors and more fonts, but it was pretty similar.
Yeah,
not too different. But yeah, I just wanted something. I probably got inspiration from classic 90s show. Graphics, just something that was like, I don't know, girlies loved the squiggles and they love triangles. So that's kind of, I mean, do you have any other memories of how the logo came about?
No, I know you worked on it and I was like very much like, yes, because I loved the colors. Like,
well, the colors were different in my initial iteration.
Original, yeah.
Yeah. Originally had purple in it, because purple's your favorite color.
Mm-hmm. So. But I'm happy with the colors we ended up with. I love the light pink. I feel like that is very much us. Like, it fits our brand well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love our logo. I still really love it. I think it's perfect for what we do. And especially love the asterisk over the as a dot for the eye.
Oh yeah. And then that's another thing. Like, originally we weren't called like properly like Shit 90s Shows Taught Us. Like, it was like SH*T. And then eventually, so like our earliest iterations of our logo don't have the I, it was only an asterisk. And then eventually you and I were just like, well, fuck it, like, let's just add the I. And then that's what we had done. So I really the I is cute. I like the I as well.
Yeah, I love it. Temi also asked, do you prefer a blanket fort or a pillow fort?
I think a blanket fort, because you can have a lot of really fun sexual rendezvous in a blanket fort.
Wow, it was not what I was expecting here, but sure.
Sorry.
Yeah, I like a blanket fort. And Temi says, this was my community chest entry, the NBC show and the Monopoly gameplay cards. Joel McHaled it. Good job, Temi. Love it. I love these random questions. These are fun. So like, this is like our original idea way back when we were like, should we do an AMA? And then we never did because we're like,
nobody cared. But I appreciate your questions that you send us, Temi, because it makes me happy to share all these things.
Yeah. And then, of course, we also have a voicemail from DBK. So let's hear what he has to say.
Hi, ladies. Je ne peux parler le français. Talalit Dansk.
Yeah.
Anyways, last week you were talking about Beautiful Girls, which had me thinking about the movie Beautiful Girls, starring a who's who of 90 people.
Beautiful Girls.
Like Mira Sorvino and Matt Dillon and Rosie O'Donnell. And Timothy Hutton and a young Natalie Portman.
Oh.
She has like an inappropriate relationship with one of the characters. So, what's your favorite Natalie Portman movie? Mine's The Professional, where Natalie Portman has another inappropriate relationship, sort of, with an older man. All right. Bye.
Aww. This is hilarious. So that was, good. As soon as I heard him say hi, I was like, what is happening? This is not DBK.
I missed the peace.
I know. We missed the peace. How are we supposed to have peace without peace?
I don't have peace. Okay, my favorite Natalie Portman movie. I actually do like Natalie Portman. I think that she's a really great actress. I think that I first got a lot of like awareness of her through Garden State as a Jersey girly. Of course, Garden State was the movie of 2004. I also really liked The Other Boleyn Girl as a historical fiction fan. Mm-hmm. And I still think that like Black Swan just like haunts my dreams a little bit. So scary.
I don't know if I have a favorite Natalie Portman movie. Like I can list movies that she's been in that I've liked. Like May December, which came out last year.
No, that is nobody's favorite movie.
It's not my favorite movie. I just enjoyed it.
It was such a weird movie.
It was very weird, but I did enjoy it. I don't think I've ever seen Black Swan. So
really? Well, I think it's a little too scary for you.
Yeah, I don't think I'd like it.
You're
she was in Thor, which I really love, but I don't really care about her in Thor.
Okay. Anyway.
Do you remember the movie? Oh my god, it's a 2000 movie. Do you remember the movie Where the Heart Is? Did you ever watch this with Natalie Portman?
No.
Okay, let me just read you the little thing. A pregnant 17-year-old rebuilds her life after being abandoned by her boyfriend at a Walmart in Sequoia, Oklahoma.
Oh,
she has a baby in a Walmart.
Yeah, actually, no, I do know that movie. I didn't know the name of it, but
Where the Heart Is.
Everybody talks about the baby in the Walmart. Yes.
Yeah, baby in the Walmart.
I do know of that. Yeah.
Incredible. Okay. Well, I think that's everything. I think that's it. Let me just look through. I think Todd had feedback. Oh no, I totally forgot about the Sean Julie kiss. So awkward.
Yeah, it's pretty cringe. Pretty cringe.
Lindy agreed. Serious cringe. So next week, this is an interesting title for this episode. It's called The Aretha Theory.
I don't know what that is.
I don't either. But we're going to watch it and we're going to enjoy it because
we're going to watch it. Like,
we're going to watch it.
Yeah, of course, we're going to watch it.
We're going to watch it. We're going to enjoy it. DBK is going to join us.
Perfect.
So that's going to be fun. And I forgot, we still have to name a winner for this episode.
So, like, I kind of want to, you're not going to agree, but I kind of want to root for Sean, give Sean a point. Because aside from because he had a good day,
I'm going to give Sean the point and pretend that it is solely for allowing everyone to stay in his loft with him. Because that was nice. That he
all
did.
His good inventions.
Oh, that's true. He does get points for any inventions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
He did it.
That might be a hot take, but I don't care.
Eh, whatever. It's fine.
He shot his shot.
Because it's shoot your shot.
Yeah,
he shot his shot.
He shooted his shot.
That's not a word.
That's not right. Yeah. He shot his shot. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it for this podcast. Keep an eye on everything we got going on. We got stuff going on. Sarah's stuff going on at Whirlwind. I got stuff going on at Talking Shit. I also guested recently on Crying Laughing podcast talking about It's Always Sunny and Abbott Elementary. So make sure you check out those podcasts. They were a ton of fun hanging out with Ariel and Amanda. Yeah, I think that's everything. So we will see you all next week. Until next time, have a good one. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone.
With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.